Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, we examine the latest headlines that show the stage is being set for the One World System. Recently, our staff gathered for weekly devotions in our Tennessee office. We read and prayed through Psalm 46, reaffirming our trust in the Lord even in the financial difficulties that we're facing right now. Little did we know that greater financial hardships would hit Southwest Radio just a few hours later, when vital ministry-sustaining gifts didn't arrive, making a difficult situation much worse. Friends, Southwest Radio Ministries needs your prayers and financial partnership right now. The need is urgent. Your support is critical to sustaining Southwest Radio through some of the lowest months we've experienced in years. We've trimmed our budget, reduced expenses, delayed our monthly mailings, and cut radio stations. Any further cuts will significantly reduce the ministry that we carry out every day. That's why I'm coming to you right now. You've partnered with us in prayer and ministry in the past, and we need our faithful friends to stand with us right now. Please give today. Call 1-800-652-1144 with your gift, or visit swrc.com and give. Friend, we need to hear from you today. 1-800-652-1144 or swrc.com. Time to delve into the latest headlines from the end times with author and teacher Josh Davis.
Greetings, fellow Watchmen on the Wall. I'm excited to share with you more stories that show the convergence of the signs of the times. If you think about a puzzle laid out on the table and the pieces of the puzzle coming together, whether you're talking about Israel, whether you're talking about wars and rumors of wars, whether you're talking about technology and how it's setting the stage for the Antichrist system to come onto the scene, we're going to examine those kinds of things and more in today's fast-paced episode, jam-packed with information. Today, we're going to look at five key stories, and I want to give you a bonus update on a story I talked about last Friday. And Lord willing, every Friday, right here on Watchmen on the Wall, we'll be sharing headlines from the end times to inform and equip and inspire you, friends, to keep looking up. That's the goal of these stories. I want to say that from the outset. I don't share this information to scare you, but to inform you and to give you eyes to see as Watchmen on the Wall, so that you can warn others around you, so that you can get out the gospel message, and so that you can keep looking up to our Lord Jesus Christ, our soon coming King, our Redeemer, our Savior. So I want to begin with the update that I shared last week. Baylor has rescinded accepting that LGBT grant money. And Baylor University has announced it will rescind their acceptance of that $643,000 grant to promote LGBT inclusion and belonging in Christian churches, according to University President Linda Livingston. She announced that in a letter published on the university website. The school announced the grant at the end of June in a press release, and they since deleted that from their website. Over a week later, this historically Baptist university voluntarily offered to return the money after pushback. Now, when your budget is over $1 billion a year and you're given the $600,000 grant, it seems like it's not really worth all the hassle that they went through. So they decided just to forget about that, but it's still riding the fence. They're still trying to play both sides of this issue. Well, let's move on to our five key stories for today. And I want to unpack the first one a little bit more and tie it to Bible prophecy. And so I'll share the news story, but I also want to share a Bible study to show you how it connects with Bible prophecy and the potential, again, I use the word potential, fulfillment of these kinds of things. Now, according to multiple reports, Iran faces tough UN sanctions if it doesn't make a nuclear deal. The United Kingdom, France, and Germany have agreed to reinstate tough UN sanctions on Iran by the end of August this year if no concrete progress is made on a nuclear deal. Now, this could further decimate and devastate Iran's economy. Ambassadors from these three nations convened recently in Germany's UN mission to discuss a possible Iranian deal and reimposing the sanctions snapback mechanism. The issue was also discussed during a recent phone call between U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio and the foreign ministers of three countries. According to two U.S. officials, the State Department said after the call that the four had spoken about, quote, ensuring Iran does not develop or obtain a nuclear weapon, end quote. Now, according to recent reports, Iran's parliament said the country should not resume nuclear negotiations with the United States until preconditions are met. Now, what are preconditions? They never really define that. But this was the quote from Iran's parliament, quote, when the U.S. uses negotiations as a tool to deceive Iran and cover up sudden military attack by the Zionist regime, that's their way of referring to Israel, talks cannot be conducted as before. Preconditions must be set, and no new negotiations can take place until they are fully met, end quote. The statement didn't define preconditions, but Iran's foreign minister has previously said there should be guarantees that there will be no further attacks against Tehran, according to reports. Now, the French foreign ministry said in a statement after a meeting of EU foreign ministers in Brussels, quote, with regard to Iran, the minister reiterated the priority of resuming negotiations to establish a long-term framework for Iran's nuclear program, end quote. They went on to say, without a verifiable commitment from Iran by the end of August, at the latest, France, Germany, and the UK will be justified in reapplying the UN sanctions or snapbacks that were lifted 10 years ago, end quote. Here is the big question. Is this setting the stage for the fulfillment of Bible prophecy? Specifically, Christians are pointing to Jeremiah chapter 49. I want to turn there, read that scripture, explain my opinion to you, and give you some of the background information about this. Now, Jeremiah 49, at the end of the chapter, starting in verses 34 down to verse 39, you read this prophecy against Elam. Iran is mentioned by two names in Bible prophecy. Most famously, it's known as Persia. Ezekiel 38 talks about Persia and that Ezekiel 38:39 coalition of nations that come against Israel for this battle of Gog and Magog. And there is Persia, modern-day Iran. But there's this lesser-known name, Elam, that is referred to in Scripture many times. The capital at Susa is referred to in Nehemiah, also referred to in the book of Esther. Daniel was in Elam when he received one of his prophecies. Did you know that? Daniel was in modern-day Iran when he wrote a portion of the book of Daniel. It's in the book of Daniel. You can read that for yourself. But Jeremiah 49 is this prophecy against Elam. In my research, reading after multiple commentators and trying to glean as much information as I could about Elam and about this specific prophecy, I couldn't find a specific fulfillment that really checked all the boxes. There were some who suggested possibly this could be the fulfillment, but there's no slam dunk as there are in other prophecies where it's like, oh yes, you can clearly see this happened at this particular time in history, just as the prophet said. You don't see that with this prophecy of Elam. So from where I sit today, and I stand to be corrected on this, I still believe this is a future prophecy that has not yet been fulfilled. Is it being fulfilled in our very day? We've got to wait and see. I like to say it this way. I hesitate to speculate, and I do, because we just don't have enough data. It could be developing in our day, but there are certain conditions in this context of Jeremiah 49 that are not yet being fulfilled in our day. Let's read some of these scriptures and I'll explain exactly what I mean. Jeremiah 49, verses 34 to 39. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might. Now let's pause reading the scripture right there to say some people have suggested that the nuclear armaments of Iran, their dependency upon that as their chief weapon, their might, their mighty weapon, and the breaking of that strong weapon is a fulfillment of this prophecy where God says, I'm going to break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might. Could the 12-day war with Israel and the destruction that was leveled upon their nuclear program be a fulfillment of this prophecy? Again, it's potentially yes, but you have to keep it in context. You've got to keep reading the verses. That's why I say I hesitate to speculate. I hesitate to give a definitive answer that says, yes, that's exactly what we saw happening, because there's other conditions that are in this passage that are connected to this verse that have not yet been fulfilled. Please do not miss that point, dear friends. Let's read on in the text. And upon Elam I will bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and will scatter them toward all those winds, and there shall be no nation, whether the outcasts of Elam shall not come. Have we seen that happen? Has this 12 days war and the kinds of things that we're seeing happen scattered the Iranian people to the four quarters of the world? Not yet. Again, I hesitate to speculate. We need to wait and see what happens. Could these sanctions that I've just shared this report with you, coming from the U.S., coming from the U.K. and Germany and France, could that cripple Iran's economy to the point that the people have to flee to find work elsewhere? It potentially could happen. It potentially could be the fulfillment of this prophecy. I hate to keep using the word potential, but I hope that you understand what I'm trying to teach today. Let's read on in the context, and you'll see that these things haven't yet been fulfilled in its completion. So it goes on to say, for I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies and before them that seek their life. I will bring evil upon them, even my fierce anger, saith the Lord. I will send the sword after them till I have consumed them. I will set my throne in Elam and will destroy from thence the king and the princes, saith the Lord. That's talking about the overthrow of the government. And we certainly do not see that happening as of yet. Could that development come into place? We have to wait and see. But it shall come to pass. This prophecy ends with a beautiful promise. But it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, saith the Lord. Friends, if you're just joining me, you're listening to Watchmen on the Wall, brought to you by Southwest Radio Ministries. I'm Josh Davis, staff evangelist, and every Friday we're sharing headlines from the end times. That was a lengthy story and commentary based on Bible prophecy. We're going to go through four more stories. I'm going to pick up the pace. Some of them are going to come at you pretty quickly, but I want to continue on with some of the headlines from the end times. Before we jump right back into it, let me encourage you, connect with our ministry, swrc.com. We have a host of wonderful resources that will help you understand what God's Word has to say about these kinds of things, whether that's books, whether that's videos, whether it's the Prophecy in the News magazine, the Prophecy in the News weekly television show. We are doing everything we can to put out Christ-centered, biblically accurate content to help you grow in your faith, to understand the signs of the times, and to keep looking up. Just visit our website, swrc.com, to connect with us, or give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. If you're not on our email list, please subscribe to get weekly emails from our ministry. If you have not yet received a new listener packet, please call us today and say, I want that welcome packet. We'll gladly send it to you. It's got a free copy of the Prophecy in the News magazine, our Prophetic Observer monthly newsletter, and more information about our ministry. So give us a call today, 1-800-652-1144, and just let us know you'd like to get that new welcome packet, and we'll send it your way. Now let's return to our headlines from the end times with our fourth story on today's episode. Anti-Semitism skyrockets in Canada's schools, according to a Canadian federal report. We begin with a sad story. An Ontario teacher referred to a six-year-old student as half-human. Can you imagine the depravity of people? An Ontario teacher referred to a six-year-old student as half-human for having a Jewish parent. And that's only one incident among many that are happening in Ontario, home to some 30,000 Jewish children. The incident with this six-year-old came to light during a study on anti-Semitism in Ontario conducted by the University of Toronto. Now, many parents, including those of that six-year-old, responded that the form of anti-Semitic harassment their families experienced was not directly connected to the war in Gaza. In one case, a 13-year-old girl was swarmed several times a day with groups of children giving her the Nazi salute. Other reports suggest that over 40% of anti-Semitic incidents targeting Ontario Jewish students since the October 7th terrorist attacks have included a Nazi salute or statements like, "Hitler should have finished the job." Can you imagine kids saying this to one another in schools? It's happening in Canada. This survey that was commissioned by the Office of the Special Envoy on Preserving Holocaust Remembrance and Combating Antisemitism, it drew on the testimonies of 599 Jewish parents across Ontario who reported 781 anti-Semitic incidents in elementary schools and high schools between October 7th, 2023 and January of 2025. This survey that was conducted between January and April of this year found that less than 60% of anti-Semitic incidents during this period specifically involved Israel or the ongoing war. In other words, it was just because they were Jewish. It had nothing to do with the events taking place in Israel at the time. Now, Deborah Lyons, Canada's special envoy on anti-Semitism, noted in a recently written statement, quote, "Something has gone terribly wrong with our promises of never again when over 40% of the incidents in this study involve Nazi salutes, Holocaust denial, and overt verbal hate such as Hitler should have finished the job." She went on to say, "We need to seriously consider anti-Semitism education, not just Holocaust education," end quote. Now, friends, these anti-Semitic acts aren't isolated to Canada's classrooms. Ty Perry, he's the director of North American Ministries for the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry, notes, "Anti-Semitism is running rampant in Canada, and of the nation's 40 million inhabitants, only 398,000, or roughly 1% of Canada's citizens, are Jewish. Yet that tiny Jewish community suffers 70% of the country's religiously motivated hate crimes. In fact, the New York Post recently called Montreal the anti-Semitism capital of North America because of the violent acts that have occurred in that particular city. Now get this, Canada has experienced an unimaginable 670% increase in anti-Semitic incidents since October 7th, 2023. And in response, the Canadian government pledged to start a national forum on combating anti-Semitism. But many Canadians blame former Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and his government for the rise in Jewish hatred. Friends, this is very closely linked to critical race theory, CRT. When you pit the oppressor versus the oppressed, you get exactly what we see playing out in Eastern Canada's schools and neighborhoods. But there's also a spiritual element to this. This is spiritual warfare on display before our very eyes. The world's oldest hatred is something that we cannot ignore. Satan has started this, and it's continuing on in our day. It's another sign of the times, just as Bible prophecy has told us. Our third story, as we continue in our Friday headlines from the end times, Satan's assault on people created in the image of God is not limited to the Jewish people, dear friends. His attack on the unborn still continues to this very day. Staggering numbers recently came out of the UK. Over 40% of pregnancies, now hear that number again, over 40% of pregnancies, almost one half of all pregnancies lead to an abortion in places like Liverpool in the UK, according to reports. Over 50% of all teen pregnancies now end abortion in these places. Almost half of 20 to 24-year-olds make the same choice. These statistics are shocking. They're staggering. It's discouraging to me in one sense. These statistics reveal a silent crisis among our young people. There's a whole generation growing up who's unable to see the humanity of the children that they're carrying. They've been lied to by culture and by laws that say these unborn children are just a clump of cells instead of what we know to be created in the image of God, a priceless treasure that Jesus loves and Jesus died for on the cross. Oh, it's not just a clump of cells, it's a priceless human life in the sight of Almighty God. Our second story leaves us in the UK, but now considering the push for digital government, setting the stage for what could be the Antichrist system coming in. The UK is preparing for e-visas as the Liberal Labour lawmakers call for digital IDs, digital identifications coming to the UK. On the website, you can see screenshots of this very app that they have created, the UK Immigration ID Check. You connect to the app, you take an image of your passport, and now you can access the chip in your passport, and you just scan your face to link it all to this app. You've got all these different things converging together. Now, the UK began the official transition to electronic visas on July 15th. At the same time, the country is hearing more calls for the introduction of digital ID cards to combat irregular migration and employment. And beginning this week, the UK will replace physical visa documents with the e-visa, which is slated to be a secure online record of immigration status linked with an individual's passport. Millions of people already hold these e-visas, which are designed to replace biometric residence cards in the UK. They also will replace passport endorsements and stickers in passports. Now, some of the Liberal Labour politicians want to go further. Last week, the former head of MI6, Sir Alex Younger, said that the country should adopt a national identity card system to help deter small boat crossings. This is a big deal between France and the UK. Sir Younger said, quote, "It's absolutely obvious to me that people should have a digital identity." And he added that the absence of ID cards is a major pull factor for undocumented migration to the UK and derided the weird anathema around the idea of most British politicians. "Let's stop shouting at the French. A lot of this is on us," he told the BBC recently. And people are also joining that same comments. Now, they're saying that digital identity could also solve some other issues like checking people's eligibility to vote. We're seeing the stage being set for fully digital government. And last month, the UK government said that it was considering issuing a smartphone-based digital identity credential to every adult in the country called the Brit Card. This mandatory credential would be used to prevent illegal migration through right-to-rent and right-to-work checks. The most important part of this move towards digital credentials is the UK government's plans to issue digital versions of government credentials, including driver's licenses. This allows the state to become a data issuer that guarantees a digital credential originates from trusted sources. These credentials can then be added to a digital wallet and used to access public and private services, according to reports. And again, we're seeing the stage being set for a coalition of the world's people into a singular database. Why do I say that? Our number one story from this week, the coming digital border control system. The EU has finally nailed it down. They have 180 days to launch the biometric border control system. Yes, the European Union has confirmed that the bloc's new biometric entry and exit system will begin a progressive launch in a development promising an end to a streak of 4 pushed back launch dates. I've talked about this before here on Watchmen on the Wall Radio in conference presentations and multiple other outlets. They pushed it back. They pushed it back. They pushed it back. Well, now they've got it set in stone. 180-day launch period that they'll begin rolling out this digital border control system. The start of operations was approved by European Parliament recently. The approval sets a deadline of 180 days to begin the rollout with the intention of avoiding a bottleneck that could compromise the system if all the countries were to launch at the same time. Additional biometrics and biographic data collection from people visiting the EU as they cross its external borders is expected to reduce violations of entry rules while speeding up border processing. In other words, if you want to enter the European Union, You got to have your face scanned, fingerprint scanned, different things like this. And they're saying, oh, there's going to be a big bottleneck. All these people trying to register with this system. That's why they're saying we'll just roll it out little by little by little over a 180-day period. England has been up in arms about some of this, but they have launched a self-serve face and fingerprint biometric kiosk. Isn't that nice? You can just go to this kiosk, scan your face, scan your fingerprint. Now, doesn't Revelation 13 say something about face and hand? Well, yeah, it really does, doesn't it, friends? And now you can go and have this self-serve face and fingerprint biometric kiosk and rolling it out to prepare for the system's launch. People are encouraged to use what they call Travel to Europe. It's an app that you can download on your smartphone. It's going to be used at some of the airports in the EU beginning this autumn. And we see the stage being set for the biblical end time scenario when we look at all these signs of the times and we see the convergence taking place. And I want to encourage you, dear friends, as I said at the very beginning, do not allow these things to scare you, but allow it to inform you. Allow it to motivate you to keep sharing God's truth, to keep sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel message, because the time is short. The time is urgent. We have an urgent message. We have an important message that the world needs to hear. And we need to look to Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. He is the coming King. And that's why we echo the words of Prophecy in the News founder J.R. Church. Keep looking up.
Stay up to date with the latest headlines with our Prophecy in the News magazine and weekly television program. Subscribe to the Prophecy in the News magazine for the latest insight and analysis of the world around us, and then tune in to the Prophecy in the News television program to stay informed, be encouraged, and deepen your understanding of God's Word. Prophecy in the News magazine and television program. Learn more by visiting our website, swrc.com. And I want to send a special thank you to everyone who is giving a gift this week. We need to hear from you, my friends. Right now, your support allows us to produce these programs and publications. You can give today by calling 1-800-652-1144 or go to our website, swrc.com. Lord willing, we'll be back here Monday, ready to once again bring clarity to the chaos. So head into the weekend with the encouragement that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners just like you. Please visit our website, swrc.com. That's swrc.com.